Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're amazed at your grace. We're so thankful for your love for us. Lord, apart from you, we'd be lost and alone and afraid. Lord, but with you, we're confident. We're confident in your wisdom and in your power and in your incredible love. And we just pray that you bless our times alone together with you, pouring our hearts out to you, casting all our anxieties on you, rejoicing to you. And so, Lord, we thank you for this class and the fellowship of believers and the way that you built in us love for each other. We pray that we would continue to serve each other and love each other. Lord, we thank you for Joel Irwin being with us today. We thank you for his life, for his love for you, for his commitment. And we thank you for his efforts planning church and Lord, that can honor you, Jesus. And we look forward to hearing details about that in a way that we can pray for them and support them in any possible way we can. And Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. So Joel Irwin is a PCA pastor in Northern Indiana. He's going to tell us about his ministry. Thanks for being here, Joel.
Hey, thank you so much. All right. Thank you, guys. This is a privilege, great privilege to be here. I met Harry Reeder 3 years ago, and I've just been so blessed by hearing wonderful things about the Briarwood and how you've encouraged other church planters to be here. You guys are really a mission-minded church, and you have no idea how you impact the rest of it. Maybe you do, but I'm telling you, if you don't, how much you impact the rest of our country, and also I know worldwide. I know it's the national ministries. I'm Joel Irwin. I'm planting up in Northern Indiana. There's some kids up here that we took to the zoo in Fort Wayne this last summer and all. And I just want to encourage you guys. Jesus Christ has been good to you. Well, Jesus Christ has been so good to us up in Northern Indiana. So, what is the number one, according to Wall Street Journal last week, this article came out, the number one most marketable place to live or to buy a home, economic vitality? Where is the hottest market right now in America?
Elkhart
and Goshen. Yes. There are so many jobs right now in Elkhart, houses. There's a family trying to move to my neighborhood. We've targeted a specific neighborhood. And they've looked at like 4 or 5 houses. And right now people will put up a house on the market and basically they say, and all offers have to be in by 5 and no inspections. And people are paying 10 to 20% higher than the housing costs. I mean, it's just rapidly expanding. There's another question. What was the very first city that President Obama visited after he was inaugurated?
Elkhart,
Indy. How did you know that?
It was in the Wall Street Journal.
Very incredible. Yeah, actually. He made Elkhart. He came numerous times. He made it his particular mission. I mean, we had 21% unemployment at the time. And Trump showed up later. He claimed it for Republicans. I have no dog in the fight, but it has been, it's an economic bellwether. Elkhart actually is. It's a place we're known for being a leader in jobs creation. We RV capital of the world, band instrument of the world. There's a lot of things going on. That was the River District, by the way, up there. It's a huge project they're doing. They've put in 1,000 new housing units for bringing millennials in. And it's just going gangbusters. They're putting up all kinds of places right now. So I'm the pastor of Heart City Church, and we're called Elkhart because there's two rivers that converge. In the middle, there's this big island that they say is in the shape of an elk's heart. I do not know what an elk's heart actually looks like, but we're known as a city with a heart. And so when we decided on our church name, Heart City actually got voted in at the last minute. We had all these names we came up with, our team and all, and it wasn't even on the list until that last day we were ready to vote, and some lady said, I don't like any of these names. Why don't we just name it Heart City Church so anybody who lived in Elkhart could feel like they could call? And it won hands down. It was just one of those God moments. So who am I? Well, I'm a lifelong Elkhart resident. I actually believe indigenous church planters are essential right now to understanding the actual culture that they live in. I understand the idolatries, just the ways of life in Elkhart. And so I've lived there my whole life. There's my wife, Jamie. We've been foster parents for quite a few years. For have over 20 kids into our house. A personal prayer request, we just had to have a girl removed actually just last Wednesday. And she'd been with us 2 years, and sometimes it's a very difficult thing. We'd actually started the adoption process. We wanted to see the gospel at work, but it's a tough ministry, but it's given us, we have a really neat foster parent community, which has connected us well. Associate pastor still at a Michiana Covenant PCA, which is in the next county over here where Notre Dame is, at St. Joe County. And I've been the planting pastor of Park City Church. We started the first Sunday, January 5th, 2020.
Wow.
Why plant in Elkhart? Well, those top green counties there's over 200,000 people plus in each and every one of these, pretty much from Chicago on over. And right now, our Presbyterian only has two churches for over 1.4 million people. It's nothing like the South. We have so many wonderful PCA churches down here. We really need the gospel up in our area. And so that's why we're looking to plant right in the heart of downtown Elkhart. So these are the what question. These are core values. Word, Christ-centered ministry, praying ministry, incarnational. So we got a bunch of T-shirts made up with Heart City. And the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. You know, the message version of Eugene Peterson, that's actually a really good quote, because we did literally move right into the neighborhood that we're targeting. And relationally honest, because we're not the incarnation. We're not Jesus Christ. We're equally in need of a divine miracle as a pastor. Somebody finds out I'm a pastor, obviously, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, no, I'm equally in need of a divine miracle. I put my cards on the table right away. We have to walk that way with people. And just being involved in the city. I mean, Jeremiah talks about, you know, it's within the city our welfare, our shalom is found, so we pray for its peace. So the reasons, particularly with Elkhart, there has been a decade-long departure of gospel churches from the inner city. A lot of churches we've got big, moved out to the suburbs. So we have a lot of mega churches outside or wannabe mega churches, but in the downtown area, there's next to nothing. I mean, there's a Congregationalist church right next to us where there's a lesbian pastor, right north to us, an Episcopalian church, and the good pastor that was there, they drove him out for similar reasons. There's so little gospel in the very heart of the downtown area. And I believe that that's where the cultural fabric is most vulnerable. That's where we can make most impact. I mean, look at Paul's ministry in Acts. He goes and targets the population centers wherever he goes to actually spread the gospel to get it out to the rural areas. So that's why we looked at the inner city. This right here is actually, and we live right almost dead in the middle of that square. So there's a population of more than 3,000 people. It's walking distance from the downtown area. And it's got 2/3 are involved in zero religious activities. And it's got a large demographic. There's all these young people moving in. And I feel like I'm two generations removed at age 46 because the culture's changing so very quickly. So it's really an opportunity to get right into the lives of people. So this is our Northwest neighborhood house. I could tell you the testimony of how God just opened the door to this really huge house. I mean, we got a steal of a deal. It's got over 6,000 square feet. So we're looking at bringing in more foster kids. Currently we have none because of the church planning and the pandemic, and the girl that we had was such an issue, but we really want to use our home to love people. And so God really blessed us with an amazing house. Jesus Christ has been so good to us. And of course, the why question. Well, we heard it in the sermon. We are called to go out and make disciples, teaching, you know, these people to observe all that Jesus has commanded us. We're called to make disciples of the nation. Then we want to make known particularly the heart of Jesus to people, the reconciling love that he holds forth. And that's a picture of the downtown area. So our church is actually located on the very next block over from there. I actually want to encourage you, just some different ways of thinking. I want to encourage you to think about how you can be a missionary and how to think about our culture. I know a missionary church, maybe some of this will be old hat, but some of this is just some of the things that I've learned. So how do we reach our culture? And you see kind of this line up here. Does anybody know what cultural distance is? Have you heard that term? Anybody? Basically, if you imagine those little lines, you have 1, 2, 3, 4. There's a cultural difference between me and, say, a 20-year-old African-American who is into rap music. How many lines of distance do you think there is? Things like language, actually. Language can be a barrier. We have a number of immigrants who are moving to Elkhart, and suddenly there's a language barrier. They have a different, you know, just... There's so many different worlds and so many different cultures. All these things can add up to difficulties, just being able to actually bring the gospel to someone. And so there's a real sense that the church is over here, and the culture continues to move further and further and further and further away. So how do we go about actually reaching people there? Well, you actually have to get in their lives, move one or two steps over. And the goal isn't necessarily then to bring them back over into the church entirely, because that's one of the big problems, because they have so many contacts where they're at. If you can get into their lives, you can actually begin to get in the world and get them a mission mindset. I mean, new converts, they have all these unchurched friends. Once you're in the church for a while, that starts to go away. So part of our goal is to actually move a few steps over to get into people's lives. And I'm really trying to encourage that in our congregation. And in fact, just asking a lot of questions and getting to know folks. I want to talk a little bit about the mega church attractional model. This is not what Harp City is. I decided from day one that I was not going to seek to be an attractional church with the great worship band up there that attracts people in. This is a local mega church. There's actually a really huge one right over near Notre Dame. It's probably got 10,000 members. It was the hottest thing since sliced bread, like in 2000 when it first came out. And all the churches then, you have the traditional churches which are starting to die off. Then you have this mega church that comes along, and all of a sudden they're attracting lots and lots of people. They send you bags of popcorn in the mail and come enjoy the show. I mean, that's, you used to get this. And now you have all these little imitator churches. They're all trying to do that. Now, this is a frustrating thing. If I was actually trying to do this, maybe 5% of these can actually muster up the funds, the ability to actually get the kind of mega church model. That's just a frustrating thing. I don't even think it's a Jesus model. I believe the Jesus model is not an attraction. I do believe come and see is right. In fact, that's half of it, but go and be. Actually going out there and building relationships with people. Think what Jesus did. He actually walks away from the crowds over and over. You see that in his ministry. He poured his life into 12 men for 3 years and impacts the world. And so I think the attractional model is not good. And plus, this, I put 30 to 40%. That would probably be Alabama, Indiana generally. There's more church populations. But the attractional church can only reach that small segment, which even interested in church, right? Or might come to church, might consider. My parents went to church, or you know what? I said a prayer at one point in my life. 60 to 65% of people in Elkhart, and this is much higher, like in California, it'd probably be more like 90-10. The attractional church can't even touch these people. They can't reach them. You actually have to, how do we get to that 60, 65% who have never heard the gospel? I've had so many people who have never heard of the gospel. In a town where we were 5 years ago, one of the most church towns in all of America. And yet, so many people have never heard the gospel. So how do we actually reach that 60, 65%? I think there's actually a lot of things that we can do. And so one thing I do when I'm talking with someone who's unchurched, I'll ask them, what do you think of God? They usually have a high opinion. What about Jesus? Do you think they have a high opinion of Jesus generally? Generally, yeah, most people do. If you ask him, so are you a spiritual person? Then ask them about the church. What do you think they say? Yeah. Over and over, this is what has been my story. But here's the good thing. Because they hear all the stories, right, in the news about the church. Anything you hear on the news about the church is the good news? No, so for people who are not part of the church. But here I've got three things I can already work with. We can talk about God. We can talk about Jesus. We can actually talk about the Spirit. Why do you have a desire to be spiritual? We have a lot to work with, but trying to attract them to our church. Be kind of like me, maybe coming here. My name is Muhammad, and my wife was named, you know, she had a name, you know, I'm trying to think of a name that would be a Middle Eastern name. And we moved next door to you, and our kids are playing together. And one day I walked up and kind of nervous and everything. I'm like, so Baba, you want to come to the mosque this Friday? We're having this great speaker. He's going to talk. He makes jokes and everything else. And we have crafts for the kids. And we have, you know what? That's kind of, we would feel awkward. Most of us would. Like, no, sorry, I'm not interested in going. Mahmoud, you know, I would really appreciate you're a good neighbor. That's how most people feel if you try to invite them to your church. And all. And so it really comes down to being relational. How do we actually impact people by getting into their lives, discovering what really matters to them? There's so many different ways we can do that. So I hope this is some encouraging things to think about. So what if we added, instead of just come and see my church, that we're mission minded. I know you guys are, I hear Harry all the time talk about this, going and being a missionary member. That should be part of our model, you know, and thinking of our God as a missionary God. That's one of the attributes we don't talk about so much, but think Genesis 1, He sends his word into the chaos, and suddenly you see creation happening. He sends his son. Father and the son send the spirit, and now, as the father sent me, so I send you. And in fact, we're also called to be a missionary people. So let's be incarnational. That's kind of what we're, our thinking, how we think about Heart City. And instead of making our unchurched neighbors take up a missionary stance, because if you think about it, the same way it's uncomfortable for us to visit a mosque, they're feeling the same way about coming to a church, right? We should be going to them as the missionaries as opposed to asking them to take up the missionary posture and enter into a strange world, the church, right? How do we begin rethinking about how do we go about reaching those who are lost? So this here was the model I came up with 4 years ago. It's actually largely the same, although it's got some new nuances to it. Theoretically, say I have a church of 100 members. We actually don't. We have like 37 right now. Say I have a, I also want to have for those 100 members, I want to have 100 unchurched relationships. So Jamie and I, we decided to move. We targeted the most unchurched neighborhood in my hometown. We bought a house there. It was my goal to be the pastor of that neighborhood. I actually use St. Patrick as the model. You know that he was kidnapped as a young man, taken to Ireland. He managed to escape, became a Christian. And then he's like, now I know why God did that, why he allowed me to be enslaved. So he gets back in a boat, heads back to Ireland, walks into town, says, hi, everybody. I'm back. I'm your pastor. Let's figure it out. And that's where I'm just learning and trying to build relationships with folks in my neighborhood. COVID has put a big hindrance on that, but we are starting to make strides in getting to know our neighbors, praying for them regularly, inviting them over, just trying to do those kinds of things. So that's how maybe 5 years, it might take 5 years before that person actually is able to get in that middle ring, but it takes relationship going out there and loving people in your neighborhood. So that's kind of our model. Our foster parent community, I should mention, we've got probably, so we hosted our first, we lead actually a foster parent support group, me and my wife, through the Villages, which is the largest fostering agency in Indiana. And we actually started hosting them in our building. We had like 40 people come to the first one, you know, and there's more at the very first one at the Villages, but then we're hosting it, which is great. Get them in our building. And then COVID spiked this. We're all virtual. So it's just over and over, we run these little snags, but we're actually got a lot of connections. The coffee shop, I go there. Every single week I have Joe with Pastor Joel and you can come and talk with me. And then just the neighborhood. I do want to get to a video here at the end, but here's one last thing, kind of this, our thinking of our model. So what is the greatest commandment? I know one of you knows this. What is the greatest commandment? Amen. Everybody, that's awesome. And there's a commandment like this, right? Yeah, and your neighbor is actually not anybody in this room. It's your neighbor who's like the Samaritan going to this person in a ditch. There's a third commandment that Jesus gives us, a new commandment I give you. Yes, love one another as I loved you, John 13. So this is kind of how I began to rethink. We are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In our service, we need confession of sins. We need the gospel. We need that all the time. We have to be firm on that. And that's actually, in a sense, the foundation. But then loving, going out, actually reaching out. How many people, so when people ask for prayer requests, I take all prayer requests. But when somebody says, by the way, I was talking with my neighbor and I'm trying to get him to come to church, or I had this good conversation, I'm lifting that for everybody saying, look at this. This is something praying. This is a frontline prayer, not a maintenance prayer. This is a frontline prayer. So how can we actually elevate this? Because that's what we want. We want to be a going out people, which actually stretches our faith. And then you have that mutual love, loving each other, that inward love. So we have, and I put a big D there in the middle because that's what a disciple of Jesus Christ is. And our church is always going to, I know that some churches do two really well. It's hard to find a church that does all three very well. And you kind of tend to tilt one way or another. So how can we see a weakness, we need to push the other way and just continue all three of those. I believe that's the way we can have a really healthy model church. Good community. And also, think about this. All three of these are ways you can evangelize. Because everyone you meet wants to touch God. Everyone you meet wants to matter. Do something in the world that matters. And everybody you meet wants to belong. They want to belong to a community. And if you can begin to get into one of those areas of their lives and have these conversations with them, it's a lot of listening. Eventually, with prayer, God will give you something to say. So that's kind of how I've been, especially with COVID world, how do we think about that? So The church just, they don't just send missionaries. The church is a missionary. I like to talk about how the church is actually, God's primary work isn't in the church. It's actually outside the church, and the church is his instrument by which he then goes and does that work. And William Temple said the church is the only organization that exists for the sake of its non-members. And it's not that the church has a mission, it's that God's mission has a church. And this is Abraham called to go out and be a blessing. So just a brief history. We began with an Acts Bible study in 2019. We launched January 5th of last year. We have five committed families and some interested families. We began at this large church renting their space, the huge church that has a dying congregation. And so we began to rent their space, and then the pandemic hit, and then we were live streaming from my living room, rented a small chapel, and we're in my backyard. And so it's been an interesting journey, but Jesus Christ has been so good to us. We're actually put ourselves, we have faithful members, wonderful givers. We're actually put in position to buy a bank building when it's for sale, right across from the courthouse, right in the downtown area for a really good price. We're able to actually put down and so when this is our building, this is now where we're meeting here. And so you can kind of see most of the group there is on the bottom. And so and it's got windows all around. So the city can see us. They drive by, everyone sees that we're worshiping God. And so it's just a really neat thing, opportunity we have. So we've added 8 families this year. Family units is probably better. We've added a few single guys. We had a guy who came out of prison and joined our church. He's probably almost our number one missionary. He came out on fire for Jesus. He's inviting people all the time. We're getting connected to neighbors. We hosted our neighborhood Easter egg hunt this year, which was kind of cool. And a lot of families came. We got to do the resurrection Easter eggs. Hosting our foster parent support group, we began parenting workshops as well because COVID revealed that there are so many parents who don't know how to parent their kids, especially when they're stuck in the home with them suddenly. And so we started these parenting workshops. I've been able to connect with a number of organizations in our community. And so just been an awesome opportunity to show that we are for the city and we want to use our building to love people. Last week we installed our first Deacon Dave Shield. The Shields are wonderful. They moved from Chicago, Illinois out here because they wanted to be part of a church that would help them grow. And they saw that our work was going to be messy. And so he's been a huge encouragement. So what's next? Well, Jesus is going to continue to show how good he is. The family up in the corner, they're actually a family we fostered, a little blonde girl who's the tallest. 5 years ago, her and her sister, my wife built great relationships with the mom. The mom ended up back on drugs, called the grandma. She came up from Florida and had these girls for 5 years. Actually, Casey, the younger lady, was just texting me earlier. She just became a member last week. She had a baby. She was on drugs. She's not been clean for 5 weeks. And so baby Veda is in her arms there, and both her and her sister are looking to get baptized next month. And so just through relationships, 5 years we fostered these girls, and over 5 years it took us, and they started visiting. We got in their lives more and more, and now they've actually become a part. And so we hope to begin building renovations next year. We're getting Sunday school classes starting next week. We've had to put a lot of things on pause because of COVID. So we got a rendering or blueprint. So we got a lot of plans. So thank you. And how about a quick video here? Is able to hear that in their sound?
Hi, I'm Pastor Joel. This is my wife, Jamie. We're excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not seeking to be an attractional church, because if we are, we're probably only going to draw the 40% of people that are generally in the Christian circles that are going to be willing to come. We're actually trying to reach out to that 60%, those people who are on the margins, who were largely unchurched. That's why we actually moved to the downtown area. We bought a house in the most unchurched neighborhood in Elkhart, because we have an awesome mission here. The harvest is ripe. And right now I'm doing coffee hours every Monday morning. I get to meet there with different folks. Joe with Pastor Joel, and people want to come and sit down and have coffee with me, and we can talk about anything. It's an opportunity to get into another world and be able to share the gospel and help them to touch God and see that they matter. We're called to be a blessing wherever we go, and by entering into other worlds, as opposed to just being a holy huddle, we can actually find our own faith being stretched, and we can look and see what God is doing, because the thing I'm convinced of is God is at work all around us. Right across the street from us is RETA, Reason Enough to Act. They are a Christian organization that is seeking to help women make the right decision not to have abortions. They provide prenatal care, parenting classes, and a number of other supports. We've been pleased that we've been able to partner with them, and I regularly pray with the director, Rod Tackett. Their mission actually began because Elkhart County had the highest number of teenage pregnancies. So it's neat to be able to partner with an organization that actually has so many shared beliefs and is seeking to be a blessing to our community. So here are some testimonials of some people that have become connected to Heart City Church through our relationships.
I think that this is a great church and just a facility to be able to spread the love out into the community and provide people with love, support, encouragement, and to meet the needs that they might have.
Heart City started out being a godsend, being a grandmother, kids that I'm raising, and now bringing on the mom and a new baby. It's a blessing to have a family that cares about you and loves you unconditionally.
Heart City has been a blessing to me and my family by way of this support and the role that I play in my children's lives as well. So just the assistance, the encouragement, the coming alongside, you know what I mean? And with that, just there's been growth on my part because of it, you know what I mean? So it's encouraging.
Heart City's been a blessing to me by allowing me to use my gifts to help, you know, the ministry, you know, to be a service to the church. And Heart City can be a blessing to the community by just being here, being present, by partnering with other organizations that maybe want to have more of a Christian influence but don't have the resources or talents or the know-how to take on that aspect.
Heart City Church has been a real blessing, and the fact that for 2 years now, we've been able to get together every Monday and Friday. We go to prayer at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's really, it's been a blessing to me in that I've strengthened, bolstered my prayer life, so to speak. I find it easier to talk with God. I know that other men are talking with Him also. We often pray, and rightly so, that God bring people to us, you know, and it's His job to bring people into the kingdom, and it's ours to help train them in righteousness and holiness, and I think we can do that by coming alongside of them and encouraging them and teaching them through Bible studies, through worship services and things like that. But I do invite people, and I think that's the biggest thing I can do. Heart City is in that regard.
Heart City can be a blessing for the community because we have open doors and we welcoming anyone, everyone, any kind, and we love them no matter what. And they're all God's people. The more the merrier. Heart City has been a blessing because it's a family, because we are out there. We have our signs doing things in the community. And when anyone comes through the door, they're very welcomed. Hugs too. I love hugs.
Heart City's been a blessing in the fact that they teach the Bible the right way for me. It says there's only one way, it's through Jesus Christ. And they do that here, and Joel does that very good, and he explains us the scriptures. I think he does a fantastic job. I really like it here, and hopefully as we go along we'll have more. I think we're a blessing to this community, and I think there's many people that would benefit from coming here.
Heart City's been a blessing to myself and Annette because we're like a family. The Word of God is preached uncompromising, and Jesus is proclaimed, and that's just it. Jews are family, we're friendly, and God loving.
What do you like about Joel and
Jamie? Jamie is very fun to play with, and Joel makes funny jokes. about God.
Yeah, anything else?
Jesus.
What did Jesus do for you?
It helped me to be nicer and better.
Tell me about Jesus and what he did for you.
He made sure that we had a roof over our head. He made sure we had food in our house.
Yeah. Did Jesus save you?
Yes.
How did he save you?
He died for us.
Yeah.
On the cross.
Yes, he did.
Zion's got gone.
Alright.
Pastor Joel is the best in the whole wide world.
What is the best thing about church? What do you like about church?
Singing.
Okay. And tell me. What do you think?
That's when Joel was good at basketball.
The Heart City Church wants to minister to the unchurched and the how our society would call the undesirables or the people that aren't always the best type of people to be with, so called. And we don't want to be that way. God calls us to be the opposite and to love our neighbors ourselves because we're all damaged goods. Everyone, if they understand who they are in comparison to God. And Heart City wants to minister to all people, but especially to the people that are on the fringe that our society doesn't really want to spend time with. But that's why God is the unifying. God and Christ is the great unifier and the only unifier. And that's what Heart City is all about.
Heart City has been a blessing to me is with all the families that come and have embraced us as pastor's wife. It's the community, the fellowship we have, and how we're able to do some outreach in the community as well.
I hope that you'll prayerfully consider supporting Heart City Church. We seek to bring the gospel to the world.
Wow, that was incredible.
I just beat him recently at basketball, but my back was suffering. Afterwards, I still got it, but not much longer. So I know we're short of time here. I do have some things in the back. You know what? I'd love it if you reach out. I send out monthly prayer requests. And honestly, prayer is a huge thing. Do you have any quick questions? I don't want to go past time. Any questions at all?
Did you wear a collar?
Yes.
When you preach? And
yes.
Why is that?
Two reasons. First, it was Presbyterian before it was Roman Catholic. If you look back, and that's
really?
Where it's actually, I put that on right before I preached because it's the yoke of Christ. And so when I get up there to be a minister, and also it communicates that I'm a holy man. And so about half the time I'm out, I wear the collar. You have certain people will come and talk to me then with even prayer requests. And then I go about half the time just dressed like however. So I find it another way in which to communicate, get people asking questions.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
You ever do a baby? Well, I guess it's been around long enough. Kind of media or something like
summer. Yes, we're planning that. We're actually hoping the COVID has just thrown everything. We're only just now starting children's ministries again. Yeah, we don't have a lot of kids, but yeah, there's just so many kids in the neighborhood. Honestly, I don't think we're equipped for that yet. So it's going to be baby steps. I really need a lot more volunteer people, but we got about 4 people who are really interested in children's ministry. So I hope that's what we think.
I had a question.
Yeah.
You know, you said you try to reach out to the community and not talk about church because that can be a negative. What do you do when people ask you what you do for a living? Because that's a first question.
Yeah, and the first thing I get out as quickly as I can is I'm equally need a divine miracle. I put those cards on the table. That's very important to communicate to folks. And then, so a guy named Jimmy, who I talked to last week at the coffee shop, he told me all the things that I would do once he found out I was a pastor. What I'd be saying to him if I went to church and everything else. And because I asked him those 3 questions and all, and then afterwards, as well, and he's just like, oh, like, did you guys do a toy drive or anything for Christmas? I was like, no. But we do seek to, you know, invite people, and we have a fellowship meal. Actually, I have one this Sunday. I was like, it'd be really good if you came because you have a guest pastor. And you won't know what I'm going to say, but you can come and talk to me about all the things wrong and I won't get offended that he said, you know, and everything. So I gave him a bulletin. He said he's going to come. But yeah, there's ways of just, I did a lot of listening. It was like 90% just listening, asking questions. And at the end, just one little thing, you know, and he said he'd come and eat us out of house and home. So he might have come. I'm hoping he did. So, yeah.
Did you have a sending church?
Yes. Michiana Covenant, that first, actually not in this video, there's a church, Michiana Covenant, which is out in the suburbs. Okay. I knew I was called to intercity ministry, and I was there for 4 years. Actually, I was there for 11 years. I was licensed to preach there since 2013. So I was, in a sense, acting pastor even there before that. But they were totally embracing the mission, so they've been a big part of supporting us. Yeah. They actually helped provide the money for the loan for that building. We came up like 15% down, and they covered the rest. And we're paying them back, and so yeah, they've been a really wonderful support.
And how did Briarwood find out about you?
I met Harry like 3 years ago at he came to talk at our presbytery, and I had a great conversation. I didn't know a whole lot about him. Then my buddy Brandon, who's down in, he's also a church planter, he's like, oh, reach out to him. So I bought Embers to a Flame right after that, his 3D model for leadership. Harry gets it. He understands how to get your members mission-minded. So yeah, that's, so I reached out, yeah, 2 years ago, and actually, because of COVID, I thought I was going to be coming sooner and everything, but they had to kind of scale back some things. I'm just delighted to be here. You guys are a huge encouragement to a lot of church planters. So.
Well, let's pray for you. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Joel and for his wife, that you would continue to bless them. Thank you for the way he's encouraged us. Lord, we're...
just all thinking of people in our lives right now that we haven't shared with, that we built relationships, but never really encouraged them in the gospel. So, Lord, we pray that you give us new energy. And Father, we pray for Heart City Church, that you would bless them. We pray for every person in that video, that you would, Lord, continue to build their faith in you, hope in you, knowledge of you, love for you, love for each other, as we pray for ourselves. Lord, we praise you that you're the God of the whole universe. Amen. Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. It's just awesome. Yeah. Just awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.